we're talking about 2020 being your best year ever and living a life that is free from regrets. Think about it for a minute. Think about where your life could have been in 2020 if, as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, as God speaks to you and asks you to do something, if you just would have done it, where would have you been? See, I believe, and this is a very upfront, direct sermon today, but I don't mean it to in any way to be negative or critical towards you, but I do believe that we need to evaluate our lives sometimes and recognize maybe we're not in the position that we could be, not because God doesn't want us to be in that position, but because of bad choices that we've made. And I am fully convinced that if we would start to be obedient to what God speaks to us. Now, I know some people, they're like, oh, we don't believe in all that God speaks and all that stuff. You know, I think, no. Are you kidding me? The Bible is very clear. The Bible says that my children know my voice. See, let me tell you about the God that I serve. He's a real God. He really exists and he really loves you. And because he loves you, he's willing to communicate to you and say, here, you want a better marriage? You know, treat your wife like this. You want a better marriage? Treat your husband like this. You want better, you don't want to be broke? You want to get out of debt? Here's what I want you to do in your finances. You want to be not so embittered, not so angry, not so mad at everybody? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to start walking in forgiveness with people. You know, you want to be not so anxious. You know what? I want you to stop worrying. You know, and I believe very specifically, I see this over and over and over again in the Word of God, that God will speak to people, not just generically, but very, very specifically. And I believe that God has been speaking to us probably all last year. The question isn't, is God speaking? The question is, do we have a willingness, watch this, not just to hear what he says, but to do what he's asking us to do? My sermon title today is, you know what, let's stop talking about it and let's just do it. Amen? My first point is this. We are blessed in what we do. The Bible says in Acts, chapter 10, that Jesus, well, let's go there. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Look what it says. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He anointed him, here's what the Bible says, with the Holy Spirit and with power. Yes. Power. God anoints Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. But here's what I want you to catch. After it says that, then it says, who went about doing good. What has God anointed you with? What kind of talents and abilities has God given to you? See, I believe that we are all going to sit before God one day and give an account for our life. You know what God did? He had the Holy Spirit. He was anointed with power, and with that which was given to him, he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Man, isn't that awesome? What does Jesus do? He takes the talents that God has given him, and he doesn't just keep them to himself. He goes around blessing other people, helping other people with the talents that God has given him. Yes. Yes. Come on, is somebody here today? Oh, come on. Does this make sense? Yes. Here's what I'm saying. What talents has God given you? What abilities has God given you? I don't know. You know what? There's this many people in this room. There's all kinds of talents and abilities. Here's what I'm saying. There's another story in the Bible, and the Bible says that God gives one guy one talent, one guy two talents, and one guy five talents, I think. And the one guy with two talents goes and invests his talents. He uses his talents. He invests those talents. And God comes back to him and says, well done. And then he goes to the guy who's given five, and he says, you know what? What have you done? And this guy invested it. He used it, what he had, what he'd been given. And he doubled it. Can I tell you what? God doesn't want us bearing our talents. God doesn't want us sitting at home just, you know what, watching, you know what, I Love Lucy and eating Doritos. Why? Because he's given us all these abilities and talents. And in this story, you know what, I notice what he does. He goes back to the guy with only one talent. And here's what this guy says. Sorry, you're sitting in that chair. Here's what he got. He did what he says to the guy who's given one talent. He says, you know what? What did you do with that talent? And here's what the guy says. I buried it because I was afraid. Listen, you've been given talent, and you've been given that talent, and it takes you to trust God sometimes to step out and say, you know what, I'm going to start that business. I'm going to go back to school. You know what, I'm going to start being sweeter to my wife. I'm going to start being kinder to my husband. I'm going to get out of debt. Whatever God has told you to do, it takes courage for you to do that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But here's what I'm saying. If you just walk in fear and are afraid and say, oh, I better not, I could do the wrong thing, God says this to you. He says, you know what, I'm going to take it back. Because let me tell you about God. He wants to be responsible. And he's going to take, you know what, back the talent. This is what the Bible says. Don't argue with me. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. He's going to take from you, and he's going to say, you know what, I'm going to give it to her. Because let me tell you about her. She's going to do something with that which I give her. Does that make sense? This is just an example. Amen. Okay. Right? And that's this example of Jesus. Jesus has been given, you know what, the Holy Spirit. He's been given power. And what does he do? He goes around, you know what, investing and ministering and caring about other people. You haven't been given what you've been given to spend it all on yourself or to stay at home and just eat Doritos. You know, we live in a society that has become very very selfie-ish. You know what I'm talking about? And there's nothing wrong with taking selfies, but I'm saying it gets kind of crazy sometimes. How many know what I'm talking about? James chapter one, where do I want to go? Chapter 1. Look at verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. A lot of times we just think that means some kind of sexual lust. Can I tell you what? In context, well, we'll get to it in a minute. Therefore, lay aside all overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. Receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. The word that is given, the word that you're hearing today can save your soul. What does that mean? Your craziness. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotion. Has your emotions ever just gone nuts with you? And you're like, man, all of a sudden you're like yelling and you get this picture of yourself. It's like, man, why are you freaking out? Can I tell you why you're freaking out? Because your soul's messed up. And the Bible says the word is able to save that craziness. Your mind is just going nuts. You know what? No. It doesn't have to go nuts. The word of God can save you from yourself. Now watch this. Next verse. But. Everybody say but. But you got to do this. I'm going to tell you how to make a chocolate cake. But. Don't forget the chocolate in the chocolate cake. You can't make a chocolate cake without chocolate. I mean, no, this is true. And you can't have a tranquility in your spirit. You can't be even keeled. Your emotions are going to get all over you unless you do this. What's the this? Here it is. But be a doer of the word and not hearers only. What does that mean? It means you can come to church every week, for a month, for a year, for 10 years, and just hear it. Now, let me tell you what happens if you just hear it. We're talking about hearing it, but then not going out and applying it. If that's what you do, here's who you are. You are deceiving yourselves. How many know, just because you hear a sermon about generosity doesn't mean you're generous? You can even make comments about that. You can even come up to me and say, "Oh, Pastor, that was an awesome man. I loved it. You just let us have it, man." That's a lot of times, I don't know why this is, but people come up, "Man, I think you got to, man, Pastor, you got to give it to him." I get it. But here's the truth. The truth is, if we hear it and don't do it, then what we are is we're self-deceived. Just because you heard a sermon about generosity doesn't mean you're generous. Just because you heard a sermon of forgiveness doesn't mean you're forgiving. Just because you heard a sermon of kindness, watch this, and you can even, stay with me here, you can even agree with what the preacher is saying is right. That's right. But if you leave and you're not kind, if you leave and you're not generous, if you leave and you're not forgiving, then you get caught up in this thinking you're better because you heard it. Now, hearing is a good thing. But without the doing, James later on says, you know what? It's worthless. Look at this. Next verse. If anyone, look at your neighbor and say, this might be you. I love words because, you know what, I love words in the Bible because they mean things. And many times we want to exclude ourselves and think, oh yeah, that's for all them. No, anyone. Somebody say, anyone,
anyone.
Includes me. Okay. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his face, his natural face in a mirror. Next verse. And he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets, keep it here, what kind of man he was. Wow. Now, a lot of people read that, but they don't know what it means. But here's what it means. You come in and you hear the word on whatever it is, bitterness. And you think, man, that's me. I know I'm bitter. Pastor showed me why in the word. It's because I walk in unforgiveness, and it's called bitterness, and I got to get rid of it, and I just need to ask forgiveness, and I need to give other people forgiveness. You hear that. Got it? You heard it. But, and what happens is the word, the Bible says, is this mirror. Right. And when you're in here and you hear it, you have an accurate understanding of who you really are. How many ever come to church, and you come to church and you think, oh, I'm doing pretty good. And then you hear a sermon, and the Holy Spirit reveals to you, you're not so doing so good. Is that anybody in the house? Okay, and you're just saying, oh, man, I got, okay. What's going on? The Bible is showing you who you really are. Now watch this. But if you go outside on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, if you don't put that in practice, you forget what you really looked like. And you begin to think that there's nothing wrong with you. Does this make sense? You know what? There is something wrong. Sometimes I said this one Wednesday recently. I said, sometimes guys, I don't know why, we'll have like stains on our shirts. Okay. And we'll think like going like this. It's like, oh, there's a stain there. Okay. It's still there. And it's the same way. We walk out and we forget who, when you're in church, the word of God is showing you this is how you really are. And what you need to do is you need to respond at that minute. That's why at the end of service, no matter what I'm preaching, I say, hey, if you heard God speak to you, I want you to raise your hand. Now, what is that? That's a beginning of changing. You're recognizing who you are. You're saying, hey, I got a stain on my shirt. Don't just wipe it off and think it's gone. It's not gone. Allow God to help you. But then when you walk out on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, if God's saying forgive your husband, then forgive him. If God's saying be gracious to your wife, be gracious to your wife. If God's saying be more generous, then don't just talk about, think about, oh, I'm going to be more generous. No, do something. Because that's what really changes you. Anybody else, they just walk out and they think, oh, and they forget, watch this, who they really are. How many of God wants to show you who you really are? Why? Not because he doesn't love you, but because he does love you. Amen?
Amen.
So, number one, we must understand that we are blessed, watch this, in what we do. Look at this next verse. Go ahead, go to the next verse. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, that's the word. He looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Somebody say of the work.
Of the work.
This one will be blessed in what he
does.
In what he hears?
No.
What he what?
What he does.
What he does. You're only going to be blessed in what you do, number one. Number two, watch this. Doing stuff, this is deep. Are you ready? Doing stuff gets things done. Doing stuff gets things done. There was a day that none of this stage didn't exist. And the construction guys didn't come in and just look and go, wow, we could build it like this, and we could make it have two steps, and I'd make it so high, and I'd make it out of wood, and I'd reinforce it right here, and I'd put, you know what? They might have done that at first, but then you know what they did? They went out, and they got some stuff. You know what they call it? It's called lumber. And they bought it, and they put it on their truck, and they brought it over here. And then, this is deep, then they picked it up and carried it inside. Is it built? No, but are they doing something? See, doing stuff, the main word, that's why I have it all caps, gets stuff done. See, you're called to make a difference in people's lives. You're called to make a difference in your family's lives. You're called to be productive. The blessings that God has given to you, the Bible says that he called Abraham blessed in order that he might bless other people. You're not blessed just to, you know, eat Cheerios and host his Twinkies. You're blessed. The reason God's given you what he's given you is that then you would get something done. Amen. So they have the lumber here. Then they measure it all out. They're like, oh, where did it fit? And how many know if they don't complete it, it doesn't get done? They get it out. They lay it out. Then they get the hammers and they hammer it all out. And they cut it all right. And boom, voila. It's done. And because somebody did something, I can stand here and you can all see me better because I'm 2 feet higher than you at this point. Does this make sense? Doing stuff gets things done. I could say it like this, the reciprocal. Doing nothing gets nothing done. In Acts chapter 1, there's a great story, chapter 3, there's a great story, and Peter and John are going to church to pray. See, here's what I'm saying. Listen to me. There are times in your life in the next month, and you're going to have opportunities to connect with all kinds of different people. And God has placed you in that specific position to bless someone else. That's what he did in this case. there was a guy who couldn't walk. And what does Peter and John do? Here's what they say. Because what's he asking for? He's asking for money. But they say, we don't have money. But we've been given something. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. But that which we have, we're going to give it to you. See, this is so deep, so simple. Why did that guy, boom, in the morning he couldn't walk, in the afternoon he could. Do you know why that happened? Because Peter and John did something. Amen. Listen, in a month, or I don't know how long it's going to take, maybe 6 weeks or something, it'll be soon. But you'll walk out to the outdoor project. And you are going to hear the Katinas. How many like the Katinas? What do they sing? What's a good song they sing?
Mighty River.
That's the one I was thinking of. But I couldn't think of it. I knew you'd help me. You know what? You're going to go out there. How many know who the Katinas are? They're awesome singing group. Very, very good. And you're going to go out there and you're going to hear, you know what? You're going to hear, there's a mighty wind. How does it go? There's a mighty river. I don't really know this song very good, but I like when they sing it. Whatever. Maybe you'll hear Blessed Assurance. I know that song. But whatever song you're going to hear, you're going to go out there and you're going to hear, it's like, wow, trip out. This is cool. Now, let me tell you why you're going to hear that. Because JR, you know what? Saturday was up there doing something. Running all the conduit. And it was up there this morning. And it's going to come back tomorrow. And this stuff. And at some point in time, JR is going to come to me and he's going to say, Pastor, it's all done. And because it's all done, you're going to go out there and go, wow, this is so cool. Amen. How come we have screens that, you know what? I mean, I encourage you to bring your Bible, but how come we have screens that you can follow me in all my notes and you can follow me word for word, whatever version you have? We have the New King James, where you can all follow us word for word. You know why? Because Joel and Angel put this thing up here. How is it that you are going to go home and your 3-year-old knows by heart a memory verse? Oh my goodness. You know why? Because we have teachers who care. They're over there. They're doing something. How come you enjoyed the worship? You know what I mean? Because we had musicians who came and they practiced. Amen. They came when you guys were at the taco truck on Wednesday, they were here practicing worship. Praise the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, we ain't going to have to go to the taco truck very much longer. See, what am I saying, guys? I'm saying that, you know the Bible says here, let's talk about in a practical sense. You know how come your life is as good as it is? Because somebody cared to do something for you. Does that make sense? You know, how many of us, you know what, have a letter that we were gonna write? Have a gift that we were gonna give? Have a song that we were gonna write? Have a poem that we were gonna be inspired to do? Have a kind gesture that you were gonna do? Have a gift that you were gonna give? Have a hurt that you were gonna forgive. Can I tell you what? All that is just a bunch of deception. And you're walking in the deception that because you were gonna write the letter, that the letter got written. No, it didn't. See, if you'll do something, stuff will, watch this, you'll start seeing, and watch this. The Bible says, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. See, watch this. You think this sermon can be predominantly, you can judge this sermon and say, I tell you what, I think what Pastor was trying to do was just to get us to do a bunch of work around the church. Well, and if you think that, you think right. That's exactly what I'm trying to get. Okay. But be careful if you judge my motivation. Because the Bible says, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. See, you know what I want in your life? I want this abundance of joy to start taking place in your life. Why? Because you're not embittered towards anybody. You just walk in forgiveness. You just don't just hear it, but then you go out and start forgiving people. You know what? You start to see all this blessing come in your life because, you know what? When God is asking you to be generous, you are being generous. You are starting to sow seeds. You're in all, not just financial, but including financial, but all kinds of areas in your life. You're sowing seed and sowing seed and sowing seed and sowing seed. And all of a sudden you turn around and go, whoa, my goodness. Look at the harvest that I have. My life is so much better now. It's not coincidence. You know what it is? It's because you're not just a hearer of the word. Now you're starting to do the word. See, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, guys, you're going to reap. The Bible says you must believe that not only God exists, but that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There is, I'm telling you what, there is so much that we could have accomplished if we would just start doing stuff instead of talking about doing stuff. How many hear what I'm saying? And nothing gets done, this is deep, unless you do something. Amen. You know, there's a story in the Bible and these religious people. Listen, watch it that you don't become religious. Here, let's can I park here for a little bit? Because I make that statement and it gets interpreted as like religious people go to church. Let me tell you what. People who love to bowl go to the bowling alley. Pastor, people who love to golf, they're at the golf course. Amen? Predominantly, people who love God, they show up to church. So I'm not of that adage, boo, to people who go to church. Yay to people who go to church. Because the Bible says, don't forsake the gathering of the brethren. Does that make sense? But what I want you to understand is we, even if those of us go to church, we can do things just to be seen. There's a story in the Bible, and it's these religious people, and God says, you know what they do? They pray, but they don't pray to pray. They pray, they pray, and they pray out on the corner. Why are you on the corner praying? Oh, hallelujah, God, bless God, blah, 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 all this yada, yada, yada stuff. And you know what they're out there? They're out there just to be seen. No, that's not our calling. Our calling is to do stuff because we care about other people. Because we care about God. Does this make sense? Matthew, guys in the back, go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men. Now, how many know this is not talking about getting the LED, you know, light and, you know what I mean? No, this is your light is that which God has put inside of you the talents that he's given you, that he wants you to express it and other people could see your light, your love for Christ. And it's expressed and shown in areas where you are, where other people can see it.
Yes,
you know what? You don't hide it. You're not embarrassed to talk about how much you love God. But it's not just a bunch of talk. People can see how much you love God. I said this in the first service. My dad, who was one of the most godly men that I have ever known, my dad, I listened to thousands of sermons from my dad. I grew up in the church. So, you know what? My dad, most of the churches he pastored were very small churches. We had nursery and preschool, but we didn't have a children's church. So as soon as you were five, you got to go in the main service and got to hear a sermon. And so I heard sermon after sermon after sermon. We not only had Sunday and Wednesday, we had Wednesday night church. So I heard thousands of sermons. You know, the truth is, I really can't remember one sermon that my dad preached. Actually, I can remember one. It was just because it was so catchy, and I love the theme. He said, Tamara probably remembers this. It was a great sermon. He said, "You can believe and receive, or you can doubt and go without." It's a really good sermon. Okay, but you know what? Out of the thousands of sermons that he preached, you know what? I barely remembered that one. Said, Pastor, your dad probably didn't have a big influence in your life, did he? Oh, no. He had a huge influence in my life. My dad is primarily responsible for the godliness that I'm able to have because of him. And not because of what he said, but because of what he did. I not only heard great sermons from my dad, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I saw him implement those services. My dad was one of the most kindest men I've ever met. He didn't hold a grudge. You know what? He was one of the most generous men that I've ever met. My dad was something special. And I knew it not because he said it, but because he did it. I knew it not because he said it, but because I saw it. Let your light so shine before men that they may see. Doesn't say here. Pastor, are you saying I shouldn't share the love of Jesus? No, I'm not saying don't share it. I'm just quoting you what Jesus said. He said, let your light shine before men that they might see your good thoughts. No, not I was going to send you a letter, not I was going to get you an in and out, not that I was going to get you a Subway, but that you would see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. There is something that happens when people see someone who is selfless. There's something happens. Because all of us know we're not very good. Yeah, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good now. How many of you know that you're not very good? Jesus said this. He was like, oh, good teacher, blah, blah, blah. He's like, dude, what are you talking about? Nobody's good. And when you start, watch this, when you start acting kind, when you start being forgiving when people don't even deserve forgiveness, when you start being gracious, not only to your friends, but your enemies, people start to scratch their head, watch this, and they won't give you credit because they'll recognize, man, I tell you what, what's going on with Cody, man? Because I know Cody. Watch this. There's something going on with Cody. and they'll look at Cody, but very quickly they're going to look up and they're going to see. That's what the Bible says. They're going to glorify not Cody. They're going to glorify God because they recognize. And I say this about Cody. I say this about me. I say this about you. I say this about all of us. We're all jacked up and we all have all kinds of selfishness in them. But when we don't act that way, when they see our good works, they start going, I'll tell you what church do you go to, dude? Yeah. Is that not right?
Yeah.
They're like, what God do you serve? Because I tell you what, you are way nicer than you used to be 6 months ago.
Amen.
Are you learning something? That's what Jesus says. But notice what they got to see. They got to see your works. They got to see your works. You got to stop. You know what we got to do? We got to stop talking about it and start doing it. Are you learning something? Amen. Number three. We are called to work 6 days and rest one. Not rest 6 days and work one. Now, I'm going to talk about, I'm going to get real. Can I get real with somebody? I say, can I get real with somebody? Okay. If I step on your toes, it's just because your toes were out too far anyway. Amen. But listen, I mean this respectfully. I mean this respectfully. I don't mean to be disrespectful to anyone. And I want everybody to understand that we all have different abilities. Does that make sense? So, you know, yesterday, James is probably 6 foot high, big guy. He was out there with that sledgehammer. Boom, jackhammer. Just, man, jacking up that concrete out there. Right? Right? You know what? How many know I don't go to Connie, you know, today and go, Connie, what is your problem? You know what I mean? James was busting it out. You know what? I went by Mimi's the other day. You're out there with your finger out eating some tea, you know what I mean, or with your pinky out. What's up with that? See, how come I don't say that to her? Because, you know what? We are not the same. Does that make sense? Listen, so everyone has their part. What I'm telling you is no one has no part. No one has no part. Everyone has their part. And so when James is busting it out, Connie, what's James doing Thursday? James ain't doing that. What's Connie doing Thursday? Connie's here at the church. You know what? Working over in the office, making it happen. Do you understand? I don't expect James to do what Connie's doing. I don't expect Connie to do what James is doing. But I do expect James to do what he can do, and I expect Connie to do what she can do. Does that make sense? And the Bible says, just for the record, that the church grows by Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, says that the church grows by every part doing their share, according to the effective working by which, you know what, each joint supplies. Not God, each joint supplies. Somebody say each joint. Yeah, some of you thinking the wrong way right now. You're like, Pastor, talking about joints right now? Yeah, we'll talk about that later on, okay? Yeah, you stay after service. We'll talk to you, okay? But here's what the Bible says, that the church grows by something that you supply. Does this make sense? All right, let's talk about what Paul writes to Timothy. I forget if it's 1st or 2nd Timothy, but it's chapter 3, starting with verse 1. And he says, in the end days, men will become lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. Okay. We live in a society. And look. That's why I said that whole thing. Because there are all kinds of different abilities. And I don't want to measure your ability because you don't have an ability like somebody else. Does that make sense? I want to make sure I'm crystal clear on that. What I am saying is, listen, you might not be able to run fast, but maybe you can read well. You might not be able to read well, but maybe you can run fast. What I am saying to you, and being very direct, is all of us have a responsibility to each other and to God and growing the kingdom to do what you're called to do. And if you don't understand that, next year you'll be in the same place wondering why you're not blessed of God. And you'll even start to blame God and say, I don't know why you don't, you know, seems like God's blessing Pastor and Pastor, you know, blessing Tamara and you don't want blessing Monica. Why, you know, why were you like them? You know, and why? Well, here's why. Because there's things that God has asked you to do that you thought about doing. And you thought that you're okay because in your mind, you thought, wow, that was a really good sermon. Wow, stay with me. Wow, that was a really good sermon. 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 I don't know if this goes all the way out here. Wow, that was a really good sermon. Wow, that was a really good sermon. Wow, that was a really good sermon. But I'm still going to not change a bit. See, you take what you learn in here, that's the beginning, but the blessing comes out here. The blessing comes when we apply what we learned. You are blessed, not in what you heard, but you're blessed in what you do. And the reason I'm tying this into the passage that Peter writes to, or that Paul writes to James, is because in the last days, you know what, I fully see this. Men are so selfish. So, you know what, if they do have a job, I'm talking about men and women, if they do have a job, you know what, they just work their job and they don't do anything but work their job. You know why? Because they just love themselves. So as soon as they get home, they just turn on the TV and eat Doritos all day long. Amen. Number one. And then the Bible says, watch this, that in the last days, men will become lovers of money. Now, how many know some people work 40 hours, 50 hours, 60 hours? They work so hard. Amen. But it's all about them. They're so in love with money that they don't have time to come and volunteer in any way, you know what, at the church. You say, Pastor, you keep on talking about the church, the church, the church, the church. You know, it seems like, what are you trying to get at? Are you trying to get us to do something here? I am. I think that's the second time I said that. I am. But understand why I'm trying to do that. Because there's a whole new world. It's Monica, that's in the wrong key, huh? That was like way the wrong key. Okay, that's okay. My point is, there's this whole new world that'll open up to you as you get outside yourself and start recognizing, watch this, what you were called to do was not only take care of, watch this. This is a visual. Not only take care of your family, yes, but take care of your family. Yes. Amen. Did you catch that? Yes. And watch this. And take care of not only your family and your family, but prepare a way for people that aren't even in your family. Let me go back to JR. How many know when we leave here in whatever, 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks or however long it takes us to get that done, and you're out there listening to, wow, man, this is so awesome, and you're enjoying this beautiful music, how many know there are going to be some people that aren't even in the family of God? Here, what about this? Let's say, I'm just asking, let's say the Dodgers make it to the World Series again. Okay? And let's say they're not playing the cheating Astros. I'm just saying. Side note. But anyway. And let's say that the pastor recognized that the church should not be about just reaching out to people who are saved, but the church should also reach out to people who are not saved. Here, what about that? Amen? And so, let's say, because we'll have six big screens out there, and let's say that the pastor was crazy smart enough, look at your neighbor, say crazy smart, to put on our sign out there, you know what, we're going to broadcast all Dodger World Series games. I'm just saying. And we're going to have hot dogs for $1. Amen. You know, not $8 at Dodger Stadium. Oh, parking free. We'll put that real big. Parking, not $25 for free. Anyway. What? Yeah, and dollar Dodger dogs. Okay. How many know we might get a slew load of people to come? How many? Listen, maybe we get 3. Maybe we get 4. Maybe we get 8. Maybe we get 58. I don't know. But I'd like to go to Dodgers. Hey, how many know it's funner to watch a Dodger game when you're not by yourself? I would like to give people an opportunity to go to a Dodger game where, you know what, where there's, anyway, I'm getting off purpose. Okay, here's my purpose. Imagine we have it out there. And imagine this. Imagine 8 or 38 or 58 people come that don't know the Lord. And all of a sudden, they meet a pastor that they have this preconceived notion of what pastors are. And all of a sudden, they see a pastor who's got jeans on, who has flip-flops on, who has kind of a wacky sense of humor. Okay. You know how you split the ocean? You know how you split the ocean? Okay. You get a seesaw. But I'll say it over here because Monica, my wife loves this kind of humor. She just loves it. Okay. Anyway, that my point is that, you know what, or they meet Tony, or they meet Brian, or they meet Cody, and they meet people, and they've got this preconceived notion of, let me tell you what, Christians are bigoted, you know what, self-righteous, you know what, and they got all this stuff that they think, and all of a sudden they recognize, oh my, that's not who Cody was. That's not who Josh was. That's not who Laura is. That's not who Angel is. Do you understand? You know what? That's not who Joaquin is. All of a sudden, they start to recognize, oh my goodness, these are, wow, these people are cool. And then I stand up at the end and I say, hey, listen, you know, the Dodgers got whipped, so we'll be praying for them today, tonight, okay? My point is to say something funny but relational. And hey, by the way, this Sunday, I'm teaching on how your life in 2020 can be better than your life was in 2019. And you tell me that we won't have some of those people, you know what, come through this door. Why did that happen? Somebody tell me why that happened. Here's why. Because who ran all that conduit for the TV? Because JR recognized his life, now I'm quoting the Bible, didn't belong to him. That when he gave his life to Christ, You know what? He got Christ's life. I mean, that's a good deal.
Oh, yeah.
But watch this. We forget the second part. We forget the second part. But Christ gets JR's life now.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Now, before you think that's a bad deal, how many know JR's life gets way better, just like all of our life gets way better when Christ comes into our life? Why? Because now we're less selfish, we're less angry, we have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, we become more generous. All this stuff is like, oh, I don't know why. I should be all freaked out, but I'm not. Are you hearing me? Okay. Let me say a couple more things and then we'll end. I want to talk about excuses. I have two statements. Number one, excuses give us permission to settle for less than God's best. Excuses give us permission to settle for less than God's best. Then I want to say this about excuses. Excuses bring in so much smoke that you begin to not be able to see reality. What am I talking about? Well, Pastor, I would, but I can't. Because yada, 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 yada. And it doesn't make any difference what the yada, 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 yada is. It's just a bunch of jive. Pastor, I would, but I can't. Listen to these words. It's like, oh my goodness. How many know perverse talking isn't just saying the F word? Yeah, I'm going to say that again. Yes, I said that. Perverse talking isn't just using profanity. This is perverse. That you would say, Pastor, I would, but I can't because yada, 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 yada. And what it does is those excuses bring all kinds of smoke that you can't even say what reality is. The truth is, you could do it if you wanted to do it, but you just don't want. Oh, I know. Now I knew. Now I really need to smile, okay? Because I don't mean to be offensive to anyone. But how can we change our life unless we recognize what's really going on? And in our life, we say, I would, Pastor, I would be sweeter to my wife, but I can't because she is such a nag. Come on, can we get real? I would, but my husband is such a dodo brain. It's not my fault that I treat him like this. I would, but... And the truth is, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. But those excuses, how many was a light bulb going on for someone? Those excuses change. And you can't even see what's in front of you. You can't even see the ability. Pastor, I would be a pastor of Hope Community Church, but I can't because I graduated from Pioneer High School. I mean, you know what, when they were rounding up the apostles, you know what? One of them looked at the other and said, man, what, I mean, Nazareth? That place is crazy. There's, you know what I mean? Nothing comes good out of Nazareth. You know what? You know, nothing comes good out of Pioneer High School. Well, I beg to differ from you. Amen? I beg to differ from you. Lawrence Charles was a graduate of Pioneer High School. He also went on to graduate from USC. And I graduated from that high esteemed college that is known throughout America, Life Bible College. I don't even know what we were. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we weren't Trojans. I didn't even know what we were. We were probably ducks or something. Saints, that's what we were. What? What? Sister Amy's Disciples.
Oh, yeah, there it
But I digress. My point is that people are changed, watch this, not necessarily because ultimately, of course, it's the preaching of the word, but how many know it's the love of God that leads people to repentance? How do they see it? They don't even come in here. You know, the Bible says, you know what statistics say? That most people have made a decision whether they're going to come back to your church or not within the first 5 minutes of them being here. You know what that means? That means, greeters, you better get your smiley face on, amen? That means, ushers, you better be ushing good, amen? That means, singers, you better be joyous up here. Do you understand what I'm saying? All this is, you know what, the greeters, you know what? We talk to the greeters that are greeting, just parking the cars. Listen, everyone is important. And everyone has got a job to do. And all this excuse why you can't and why you can't and why. I mean, how silly. I was just thinking about this the other day. Megan, oh my goodness. And this genius is going to tell God that we're just sticking with Shayla and Tyler. Not that Shayla and Tyler weren't all that in a bag of chips. But here's what I'm saying. We come up with all these excuses to say why we can't. And if God is saying to do it, you know what? Stop talking and just do something. And start to recognize what the excuses are. See, start to imagining a life where, you know what it's like we do? We're like sitting, we're taking a nap. Have you ever done this? You're taking a nap and you're sitting and the fan's going, okay? You ever see the fan and it gets like heavy on one side and it's, you know, squeak and squeak. And you're lying there and you're like, man, that fan's bothering me. Oh, that fan's bothering me. Oh, that fan's bothering me, man. I should get up and turn off the TV. I should put the dog outside. All this stuff. And you're like, and you wait there 10, 15, 20, 30, 45, an hour. And now, you know what? It's time for your nap's over. It's time to get up. Like, I don't know why I'm not rested. I know why you're not rested. Because of your laziness to not get up and turn off the fan. All I'm saying is, where could our life be if we would just stop all the excuses of why you can't and would just start saying, God, absolutely, I'll do it. You know what? I don't know. Some point in time I got smarter. And when that fan squeaks, I get up and turn it off. You know what I mean? I shut the window. I try to take care of things as soon as I can. And I'm not perfect at it. But I'm getting way better because here's what I especially want to be obedient to do what God asks me to do. Because that is when I'm going to be blessed. And you know what I want for all of you? I want for all of you to be blessed. But to be blessed, we've got to start being obedient to what God is asking us to do. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, we don't like to end a service that we don't give people an opportunity to accept Jesus. If you want to ask him in your heart, we're going to say a simple prayer. It's a short prayer. I want you just to raise your hand. Yes, thank you. You could put your hand down. Anyone else? Yes, thank you. You can put your hands down. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, in the back, I see that. You can put your hands down. Yes, I see that hand. Let's say this together. Jesus, come in my life. Come in my heart. Change me from the inside out. I make you my Lord today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We believe if you said that prayer that you became a Christian today. We believe that Jesus came in your heart. Now, do me a favor. Find a good Bible-believing church. Very possibly, it's this church. And very possibly, I would ask that you give us a year. Start to come every Sunday and every Wednesday. And watch what happens as God starts changing you from the inside out. Now, one more thing. If something that was said touched you, If you felt like God spoke to you, if you feel like there's been times that you've been procrastinating and just not hearing God, and you just talk too much with not enough action, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. And I'm not condemning you. I'm not judging you. The only reason I ask you to raise your hand is because I recognize that's part of moving forward. That's part of not being deceived. If that's you, let's pray. I want to pray with you. Father, I thank you for these that are here. And I thank you that they're willing to raise their hand. Say this with me. God, forgive me. I'm moving forward. If you ask me to do something, I'm a doer, not just a hearer. In his name I pray. Amen.